tell our visitors that we have this wonderful singing every Sunday at this church, but we're glad that you joined in with us today. I'm the one who requested that song, If That Isn't Love, because I associate that song with Jim Delaney. I had never heard that song until he led it one time, maybe 20 years ago in this church. So every time Jim comes in or leads the songs, I think, If That Isn't Love, and then I found out Elvis Presley recorded it. I don't know how I hadn't heard it before, but I had not till Jim introduced me to it. I want to take this as a personal privilege to introduce you to a lady that I've known for over 50 years. She and her husband had a ministry in Kansas and New Mexico, and I came to know them in the 1960s when they moved to Carlsbad, New Mexico. And she's here, and her family are here, and they're going on the cruise in celebration of Edna Morrow's 90th birthday. Edna, stand up. Where are you? She blushed. Her children and her brother and son are with her, and they're just wonderful people, great servants of the Lord, and she just never changes. And when she told me this was in celebration of her 90th birthday, I thought we need to recognize that. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, judge not. Are you kidding me? I think the problem is we don't use enough judgment. Judge not? How would you like to tell a parent, now don't you ever judge what your children are doing, because Jesus said, judge not. We'd have a community of heathens, wouldn't we? Or if you went to your investor who handles your money and you ask about a certain investment, and he would say, oh, I don't ever like to judge as to whether something's good or bad, I think you'd withdraw your money pretty quick. People are inclined to say in religious circles, oh, don't judge this or that doctrine or teaching or practice. Jesus said, don't judge. Inevitably, when I select a jury for a trial, there'll be among those present those who will say, I can never judge, and therefore I can't sit on this jury. And that gets, by the way, that'll get you off the jury panel if you ever want to use that as the excuse. And I know most of them are very sincere because they've been told, don't judge at church. But it's not a very well thought out position. We judge all the time. We need to judge all the time. And most of our problems are because we've used bad judgment. Not that we've judged, we just didn't judge rightly. And so we have to really understand what Jesus is talking about here as he tells us, do not judge others. Some have gone to very extreme things in this matter. They don't judge, as I say, on jury panels. Tolstoy said, he could not be involved in civil government often because it was a matter of judgment. And people have used this as an excuse for the worst type of behavior in retorting, don't judge me. What does it mean? Well, Jesus is talking about a particular kind of judgment. And that is plain in the context of Matthew chapter 7. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. People talk about karma. I don't like to talk about karma because it's associated with another religion. But I do like to talk about sowing and reaping, which is almost karma, isn't it? What a person sows, that shall he reap. Do not judge, or you will be judged. In other words, Jesus is saying there's reciprocity in life. And one of the things that is good advice is don't be a hypercritical person, because other people will treat you the same way. They will apply the same standard of judgment in your life as you have done to others. So that's what he was talking about there. Jesus is talking about a judgment that is very critical. And this is an area that we sometimes judge people, which is bad. And we judge people and assign motives when we have no grounds for assigning them. Or we make suggestions about them that are harmful, as if we're making judgments about their behavior when we don't have any basis really for judging it. Jesus said in this same context, who are you to judge others when you have a beam in your eye and you're trying to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye? Well, the very premise of that statement is you've made a judgment as to what is a beam and what is a splinter. I mean, that's a judgment of discrimination, isn't it? So we know he's not talking about removing all judgment. Verses 15 and 16 in Matthew chapter 7 says, you shall know them by their fruits. And so you can make a judgment, certainly, by the fruits that are born after that fruit is born, maybe not before. What we need to be warned against is an uncharitable attitude toward other people. And that is always a necessary reminder. There are some people who consider themselves the moral policemen of the world, who are going around making a lot of judgments about people when they know very little about that person's life. They are not loving judgments. It is the fault finder. You know, there are some people who can just find fault when nobody else could have until they came along and found it. Some people like to play the role of a critic. I really do not like that role. I think that's why I've never really desired to be a trial judge or anything of that nature. I don't want to make the judgments. I like the role of being one person's advocate. I don't want to judge them or what is the issues between two parties. There are different ways of advancing yourself. One way is by building yourself up. That's pride. Bragging about what you have done or what you are. One of the illustrations that I remember the professor giving that made so much an impact in my life when I was a student, Dr. Frank Pack, in one of his lectures, told about the bird I had never heard of before, so I looked it up, the pouter pigeon that inhales so much air that finally it will topple over backwards. He said, that's the image I have of the person who is always puffing themselves so much that they finally will turn over and fall over because of the air that's in them. It really does them damage. How often we see that to be true. We are reminded that pride goes before a fall, and that the admonition is to consider others better than yourselves. So the critical, fault-finding person is what Jesus is condemning. I said one way of building yourself up is a way that you advance yourself. The other way of advancing yourself unfairly is finding fault with others, tearing them down. I don't know why we have the idea subconsciously that if I tear another person down, somehow I'm elevated. But that has to be the motive at work or something. You'll find people in the workplace who are always tearing down what a fellow employee is doing, and you think, well, why are they doing that? That doesn't necessarily elevate them, and it certainly is destructive to the person. Why is it usually wrong for us to be judgmental? It's usually wrong because we are often mistaken. If we only knew that person as completely as we should and as completely as we ought before we make a judgment, we would be hesitant to make a judgment against them. It is because we don't know people that well that we are inclined to make some negative statement about them. Jesus gives us a reason for this caution. He says it provokes retaliation. Now, don't you enjoy when somebody who's a fault finder trips up and you get to spread that word? It's just a fact of life that for every lie that we speak, someone will lie to us. I think of that story of Jacob in the Old Testament and his father, Isaac. Remember how many times Jacob lied to his daddy and deceived his daddy and robbed his brother, cheated his brother? Well, guess what? Before Jacob's life is over, he's lied to, he's cheated, and people have treated him the same way he treated his own father. And so life is an echo like that, and it brings about a reciprocity. It brings a judgment usually on ourselves. And it's what Jesus had in mind when he said, or else you will be judged by the same judgment. Life is such an echo that the story of Esther in the Old Testament, in the 7th chapter, tells about Mordecai, who has been the mortal enemy of the Jews and has planned this elaborate scheme to eliminate all the Jews and to have them all killed on a certain day. And he especially hated one particular Jew by the name of Mordecai. And he supervised the building of a high platform on which to hang Mordecai in public. That just made him so happy. Well, as the story turned out, there's a verse in the 7th chapter that says, and so they hanged Haman on the same scaffold that he had built to hang Mordecai. That's what happens in life. It's an echo to us. And I have found that, you know, people who have been charitable toward others and who have been loving toward others all their lives, when they are in trouble, they will find people loving and charitable toward them. And we ought to live so that we all stumble, is what the Bible tells us. We all stumble. That when we do stumble, people will realize that we should be given the same mercy and understanding as we have given others who have stumbled. There is a sense in which we condemn ourselves if we are overly critical. It's called transference in psychology. It's a well-known principle that we see in others the fault or the blame that's in ourselves. And what we are most critical of in others, you maybe have noticed this, what people are most critical of others about, that's the same problem that we could criticize them for. It's kind of, we somehow project what we do wrong ourselves onto other people. And maybe we think that we have deflected it from ourselves. Every story in the Bible can have such application like that. Do you remember the story of David? The prophet came to David with this made-up story about a man who had one sheep, and he was poor, and the neighbor just was a wealthy man. And the wealthy man had a visitor coming, and the wealthy man didn't want to kill an animal out of his own flock, so he just took this little sheep that belonged to the poor man and used it to welcome and to feed his visiting friend. Well, you remember David getting so angry about that? That story just really touched something in David. And he said, that man deserves to die. Let's find out who that is. Because David evidently thought the prophet was telling him of something that had happened in the kingdom. And David's reaction was immediately, that is the worst possible human being that could be to do something like that. And then the prophet told David, you're the man. So oftentimes, even though we don't recognize the problem that is within ourselves, we see that problem that we really have and project it onto other people. And that's why we need to be very careful in making a judgment. I have told you before, and I guess I'll say it again because it's so graphic and I think about it often. There are two types of people that I know. Some are butterflies, and some are vultures. Now, vultures like to feed on dead things, but butterflies are always looking for something sweet. Wouldn't you rather be a butterfly looking for something sweet than a vulture looking for something that's dead and rotting? Well, I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us, that we look for the very best. At the funeral service of Alexander Campbell, the speaker said, I would not say that Alexander Campbell was a perfect man, because he was not. He had his faults. But over those faults, I would throw a cover of love. And that was based on the scripture, love covers a multitude of sins. Wouldn't you like to be the person known as the person, when there is fault, that you're protective of the person, you're helpful to the person, and that rather than exposing every bad thing about somebody else, they're inclined to cover so that other people won't know? It's not that we don't recognize fault, but we don't expose it and make people suffer as they do when we are judgmental about them. You know, you can poison the well so easily. By poisoning the well, I mean you can make somebody, or let somebody make you suspicious of others, can make you dislike others, just by making that person making a suggestion against that person. It is so easy to spoil the well. I hope that we will be charitable people, that we will be loving people, that we will be kind people. Amen. Using judgment when judgment is called for, but not refraining from judgment when we ought to be silent. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, which is our practice at each of our services. This gives an opportunity to people to confess their faith and to be baptized or to have prayer if prayer is required.
Let me be the cheerleader for today. What a wonderful service we just had today. What an uplifting service we had today. Jim and Daniel and Alan, thank you all very much. Now, one of the things that happens when we come to worship, you take away from here the thing you want to take away. If you want to find something negative in another person or life lesson, you'll take that away. If you want to find the grace of God and think in terms of Zion, the city of God, you'll take that away. It's up to each and every one of us to take away what we choose to take away. The lesson that Alan delivered will be on our website tomorrow at noon. I would encourage you to go online and jot some of those down about judgments, because we judge every day, but we choose what we choose to judge. We can choose to judge things that are beautiful, or we can choose to judge things that are not. Let's go to Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we just thank you so much for the many visitors who came today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they have safe journeys, safe travels, and we pray, Heavenly Father, they've been inspired by their time here at Broadway. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our members themselves, continue to embrace one another, and that we best exemplify all there is that Christ has offered for us in terms of our love and our devotion and our care. We ask, Heavenly Father, that as we depart this place, we do so with a lightened spirit, a lightened heart, and best reflecting you in our daily walk. Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.